Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, I'm joined in studio by the one, the only, the fabulous Jennifer Rock. Hello, how are you?
Good morning. Your skin's looking beautifully dewy of this Monday.
Well, would you believe it's because I'm having such a lucky day. I am. I was talking this morning about how I avoided stepping on. I'm not bringing it up again. Okay. I've done it so many times already. But I'm having a great day.
Good. Delighted for you.
Thank you very much. I love that Jen started this so much with you because talking skin and listening to skin is one of my favourite things of all time. And this week we are going to be chatting about what people should do in their 20s, 30s, 40s, perimenopausal, menopausal. And if anybody at home has any questions in relation to that, get them into us now on 51552 or you can email jen@rte.ie. So if you were also thinking about teens, you can check out last month's podcast. So we're all up to date. But as I said, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'll take a deep breath and get on with this. Let's start with people with advice for their 20s, okay? Because you leave the teenage years behind. And what's going on then, bar trying to navigate life in general, then having to navigate
the project adult, as I call it, I think the way I always describe it, Laura, is that I almost look at skin in three ways. So I divide it into your texture, which is usually your oil. Are you over secreting or under secreting, which will affect how the skin feels. So if you rub your face right now and it feels rough to the touch, it could be that it's perhaps dehydrated or dry. Laura's actually officially rubbing her face right now. Or if you rub your face right now and it feels that there's kind of lumpy, bumpy oil, or there's a lot of, like if I touch my skin right now, it will glide because there's a little bit too much oil on my skin, for example. So you're looking at your skin, both the oil and the texture. Then I look at the colour. What I mean by the colour is not your natural pigment that you're born with. I'm talking about, for example, if you have, say, extra brown areas, which we call pigmentation, or if you've under, which means that you don't have pigment in that area, or do you have redness in the area. So typically with colour, it's red or browning areas. And then the third one is elastin and collagen, which is ultimately the proteins within the skin that we spend a lot of time talking about from 25 onwards.
We love
them. That is where you have, I suppose, the plumpness, the dewiness, and this is where when we talk about lines, wrinkles, size of pores, those two proteins are really important. So ultimately, it's you're looking at your oil, you're looking at the colour, and you're looking at, I suppose, collagen, elastin, slash lines and wrinkles. In your 20s, I'm slightly jealous because that's a little while ago for myself. Ultimately, that structure is still completely intact. The biggest qualm we tend to have in our 20s is that of texture. So perhaps if you're someone that wears a lot of makeup, you might perhaps be irritating the skin a little bit and perhaps having too much oil, or you could be too dry. So that's usually the biggest qualm. So really what we're trying to do then is encourage people to cleanse properly. It's quite simplistic, but you can do active. What I mean by that is it's not just choose any old cleanser. Choose a regular, what we call like a hydrating cleanser. Use that by day, use that by night. And then in the evening, use things with salicylic acid in it if you're oilier, or lactic acid if you're drier. So Laura, people panic when I say the word acid, and they imagine like old school days, Samantha Jones, Sex and the City, and all the TikToks that can go wrong. But the reality is those acids help to kind of calm the extra oiliness or help with the dryness. So that's kind of the upping the ante in your 20s, if you will. Serum hydrating wise is really all you need. You can use things like vitamin C, niacinamide, which is otherwise known as B3. That just gives it a luminosity, a glow, a dewiness, and it really gets ingredients into the skin that keep the skin healthy. And then an SPF. Now an SPF is a non-negotiable. I'm just going to keep repeating this for all decades. 365, all ages, all geographies, all genders. So SPF is definitely a key one. Then when you start getting towards your 30s, there's not a huge shift. I think the reality is that like circumstance changes. So people might be, I don't know, buying houses, or the budget might not be the same, or perhaps they're planning families, which you can do obviously in many a decade, but notoriously and statistically we tend to say that's the 30s. So this is when, and I don't know what age you are, Laura, but I know
33.
So the reality is you start to see that like collagen and elastin is breaking down. So it's definitely breaking down further. So what does that look like? It might look like you wake up on a certain day and you just feel that there's what we call nasolabial lines. So basically, if you look at yourself in the mirror and you see there's a line that we all naturally have, it comes from the lower part of our nose down to our chin area or to the corners of our mouth. They start to become a little bit more, I suppose, a little bit more depth to them. Our cell turnover, what does that mean? Our cell turnover slows down. Basically, our skin stops exfoliating itself or shedding itself off at the rate it once was. So upping the ante on the exfoliation is something to consider. But not doing it to the point that you treat it like, you know, scrub-a-dub-dub and I'm cleaning the kitchen sink, which is what a lot of people do. So just being aware of that. So really, I suppose, and then hormonally, which there's a lot of hormones happening at that stage of our lives, sensitivity, irritation. We've talked about this word barrier in skincare for so long. It's probably the most searched TikTok concept, the skin's barrier. What do we mean by that? It's trying to keep as much hydration in the skin as is possible. So the difference, I suppose, here is that you might bring ingredients in, one called retinol, one after my own heart. I love it. It is an absolute game changer. It makes a big difference to your skin's health because it's ultimately a form of vitamin A, but it just gives the skin a very, it's like a key ingredient that your skin actually needs. It naturally has it inside it, and it helps with the lines, the wrinkles, the pigment, the redness, the size of the pores. It's almost like a checklist for a lot of skin realities that we start to see change coming into our 30s.
So much going on here, but with retinol, and this is actually a question that I really want to know. I know you apply it at night because you shouldn't wear it during the day, but applying it at night, is it on damp skin or completely dry skin, or how do you go about this? Because I know a couple of years ago when I started off on retinol, I got awful bad, like my acne broke out, and I was clearly just doing it wrong or too much.
So I love retinol, but you're absolutely right. It almost comes with a caveat that it is a really active product. It's like going to the gym and you haven't been in a while and you decide to pick up, like, I don't know, a huge deadlift weight. Clearly, I don't have the language, right?
Out.
Yeah, put your back out. Lord,
take your jacket off too quick. Anything can do it.
But ultimately, the reality is that you need to do it slow and steady. So you're right. Mm-hmm. It's a nighttime only product because it does make the skin more sensitive to light. SPF is a non-negotiable, as you said, anyway, but even more so if you are using retinol. With retinol, I always encourage people to start on a low level. Start on maybe twice a week on week one, three times week two, and then build. So it's an incremental, so it's acclimatization to such an active product. And then to answer your question about how you apply it, I actually am a big fan of asking people at the very start, cleanse your skin, put all your regular serums on that your skin's already used to. Mm-hmm. It'll hydrate the skin and so on and so forth, providing there's no exfoliators in there, and then put your retinol on. So by putting it on over other products, let's be honest, you're not going to get the best penetration, but it's a more controlled version. And then you almost graduate about a month later when your skin's like, oh, I'm used to this. And then you can start using your retinol directly after your cleansing. So I just take it really slow and steady. It's not a race. It's about getting that ingredient into the skin so you feel good in your skin and making sure that, you know, you're getting it. And taking photographs, Laura, I'll always say this. Take a photograph when you start any product mm-hmm. that's claiming that will make a difference to any of these realities. Lines, wrinkles, pigment, pore, colour. And if you take that photograph only just for yourself, it's not going to become a WhatsApp profile picture. Or maybe it is. But it's just for you to start to see, am I actually seeing a difference? Or am I investing my time, money and effort into something that isn't actually helping my skin? Because we all deserve to feel good in our skin. There's a huge emotive link with it, for sure.
With retinol as well, because I know we talked about the skin barrier, and that was something I messed up so incredibly bad in my 20s. Like, it was so damaged, it was so sore, nothing was working properly, and I put it down to not having the right products, but in fact I was using too many products. Should you be using retinol in your early 20s and up, or are you saving that for your 30s?
Yeah, good question. And you know, you're not on your own. Like, so many people, particularly over the last few years where we're looking at ourselves on computers so much more, social media is a large part of so many people's life. You can't go out for a friend's dinner without being stuck into a photograph without your permission. So we're always seeing our skin. So people are very, you know, wanting to know what to use. So to answer your question, retinol is a yes. I typically say 25 onwards, but I really don't think you need a lot of products. And this is the confusion that I find hard. I love my sector, but a lot of people say you need an awful lot of products and you don't. So it ultimately boils down to hydrating cleanser, maybe an acid-based cleanser at night for some, like we discussed, if you're oily prone, for example, hydrating serum, a retinol and an SPF. That generally does tend to do you across most decades. You just might increase the level of retinol. So for example, back to your question, you might use something like a 0.3 or 0.6% in your 20s, but then bring it up nearer to your 1% in your 30s and your 40s. And then you spoke about purging, which is when you said you use retinol and then products, I suppose, it caused the skin to break out. That can happen, but what retinol does do beautifully over time, once done right, Miss Laura Fox, is that it actually balances out your oil levels. So I too would have a history of having had spots in the background. I'd really careful when I bring products into my skin that it doesn't cause them to go, "Woo, brilliant, I'm coming out." And it's like a little razzmatazz and a jazz hands. We don't want that. So it's about calming and calming it down and doing it slowly. But it's definitely an ingredient to consider in your 30s, and it can be in your 20s. And a lot of derms recommend it younger if someone has problematic skin.
So to help it even itself
balance
out almost.
Balance itself out, yeah, exactly.
And less is more.
Less is often more. This is very true.
There is obviously another question here. If somebody wants to tan, look, I know that you're going to say, there's no point in me even saying, we keep our face out of the sun because we will. But is it just better to just put a fake tan on your skin altogether?
I think my tagline that will I'll bring with me through life is fake it, never make it.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I look back on my own childhood, I look at my son, and like, he was reared with me being in the skincare world. Like, he's 20 and he has got pigmentation and sun damage. It's partially, it's inevitable. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying sit in a cave and never go out and don't socialize, yeah. but being aware that SPF is probably your longest term skin friend and applying it from when, you know, you're young enough. Obviously, every parent is at their discretion when they choose to use it, but SPF really is the goal. And there's so many amazing tanning products now that it's not even a facial tanner. Like, you can get tanning drops that you put into your moisturizer. There's lots of products, lots of brands that I genuinely adore that gives you that glow without causing that issue. And I promise you, we have thousands of clients in the Skin Nerd, yeah. and they come to us age 60 and say, I just wish I knew 30 years ago. The reality is, we now do know.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, rally together and support the Irish fake tan brands.
Exactly. Tantor till you Tantor look too. Absolutely phenomenal. Look, okay, we've spoken about teens, 20s, 30s. We are all going to be 40 at some stage.
Yes.
What changes then for us? Is it anything mad and anything crazy, or is it just like that, just altering things a little bit?
It's altering things, definitely. I think the reality is, obviously, when you get towards your 40s, like the, you know, your perimenopause, menopausal stage of life. So perimenopause meaning the years leading up to menopause. But in the first 5 years of menopause, just for people to know statistically, your collagen levels that we spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. your lines, wrinkles, that plumpness piece that we tend to crave, it depletes by 30% in the first 5 years. That's a significant drop. So just being aware of that. So back to those ingredients that we spoke of, it's keeping those in your regime, but perhaps working it in that you're more consistent with it. Perhaps you're upping the ante a little bit more. You might be even more conscious again of what you're putting into your body. You might go to a local clinic, have a consultation. Perhaps that's when facials or treatments might coincide with what you're already doing at home already. So it's just, and sensitivity and irritation and redness tend to be something we're conscious of. But all I'd say, because that's the stage of life I suppose I'm nearing, and so many of our clients are the same, there's genuinely somebody and a product that can help you feel like you are yourself. And yeah. that's all I think people want to know, that there is something that allows the skin to be balanced, to be hydrated, and to really help with that volume loss that is part of the genetic breakdown.
It's just getting ahead of it.
Getting ahead of it and knowing it's coming and keeping the conversation alive, exactly.
We got some texts in here on 0871879200. This one says, what products are safe to use in the skin during pregnancy? I'm not sure what to avoid and what is safe.
Great question. So back to that 30s or 40s or 20s, whenever somebody may become pregnant, I suppose it's about looking at what's happening with your skin. Do you know what's interestingly is statistically they say, so I, for example, would suffer with spots. Mm-hmm. So when I was pregnant, I had not a spot. So it often tends to change. I know. I'm not have a little baby factory to make sure I never had a spot again. But no, in all seriousness, what tends to happen is your skin, the hormones change. So, and there's more blood flowing through your body. So you tend to get this inverted commas pregnancy glow. Mm-hmm. But for some, it can really cause a lot of breakouts. And for some, it can really cause sensitivity. So if it's breakouts, you can't use that ingredient, salicylic acid. So another alternative, and I appreciate this sounds like an acid class, but it's azelaic acid. So azelaic acid, really affordable. You can get it in all brands. Walk into your pharmacy. I promise you they'll know about it. And that really helps with it helps with the inflammation. It helps with the spots. And then if it's dryness, ceramides. I'll say it again. No, so ceramides they're naturally in your skin, but they really hydrate the skin and help with that irritation, that sensitivity. Pigmentation tends to be a reality for many a pregnant lady simply because the hormones inside, people, you might have heard it called pregnancy mask. So again, we're back to SPF. SPF will really shield it. And vitamin C is perfectly safe during pregnancy, and that really helps with pigmentation as well. So there's lots you can do. To answer the question really succinctly, what you can't use, it's salicylic acid and retinol. They're the two no-go. They're just not tested. They're really active. So just steer clear of those. If you happen to use it, don't beat yourself up. Just don't use it again. Chat to someone. Like, it doesn't get into the bloodstream 100%, but we always, always, always have to err on the side of caution and follow legislation, obviously.
Another question in here that says, I got IPL a few years ago to get rid of red lines inside of my nose, but didn't work after 5 sessions. I hear there's a new IPL treatment and all the influencers are raving about it, but what's the difference and should I give it a go? This is a huge thing of investing your money into things.
So I honestly think treatments and tweakments are a whole conversation by themselves. So IPL, for anyone that doesn't know, is intense pulse light. It's essentially a light treatment that the target is the redness, in this case in the skin, and it's not the most comfortable to receive if you've ever had it, but it often works. Now the reality is, in the last 5 years, I cannot tell you the difference in technology. And if I may, and I say this in the most respectful sense, being a facialist and having done IPL on clients for many years plus training people in it, it does depend on the facialist and that they're doing the correct settings. So just make sure that it's not just maybe go to another consult somewhere else and have a patch test to see, but the bottom line is the technology is evolving massively, and you can get laser, medical grade lasers done now, as opposed to IPL, which is more of a scattered light. Okay. Lasers, that slight step above where it's more specific. And if you really have, as I do, a couple of little broken capillaries that you can see the little, you almost follow them with your finger, yeah. You can see them with your eye. Those particular lasers that you can get done in clinics really do help to break it down. And can I say, Laura, as a facialist, to watch that happen before your eyes,
zaps.
The most satisfying feeling. Yes. But they do come back because they tend to be something you're prone to. So just to be aware of that. They can return.
Jennifer, we could spend the next 2 hours talking to you because, well, I could anyway for a fact. And we've got loads of questions coming in, but you will be back again next month. It is always so popular.
Thank you.
There you have it. It's the do's and don'ts of skincare through the decades, according to Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skingredients and The Skin Nerd. If you missed any of that, you can listen back to the podcast after the show. You'll be back in next month, as I said. And if you've got any questions in relation to that, you can email us at jen@rte.ie. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.